Some time ago, we paid a visit to that warm and wonderful lady of the entertainment world, Miss Mary Astor. Mary's career has spanned silent films, talkies, radio, theater, and television, and she's also been recognized as a writer of considerable skill because of her autobiography and a novel, The Incredible Charlie Carew. Mary Astor's vast experience in all the media of show business qualifies her as an expert in what it takes to get to the top. And she's also endowed with some special insights concerning the important values one should seek in life. Mary Astor lives in this house in Malibu, California, some 40 miles from the heart of Hollywood. The climb down to this beach is over 200 feet. I'm told the climb back up to the house seems 10 times as far. Miss Mary Astor moved here last spring, and she named her new home Stella Maris. Hello, Mary.
Hi, Charles. You're so far away. Come on over.
Tell me, Mary, how often do you make that climb to and from your beach?
Oh, well, I do more than that. I climb down, and then I walk about half a mile up the beach and half a mile back. It's a good way to take a sun bath, and it's good exercise.
That should keep you fit. I had no idea that you were such a nature lover.
Well, I think I always have been. I've spent some of my early years on a farm, so it was near the Mississippi River, too, so I've always liked water, and I feel like I've come full circle.
Well, you have here what most people, I'm sure, would consider almost the ideal prospect, the ideal view.
Spectacular, isn't it?
It certainly is.
You know, living by the sea is an experience in itself, because the sea is always the same, and yet it's changing all the time. The different lights, the different look of it, and the activity going on out there, the seagulls and the pelicans And there's some seals out there in the kelp beds that come in close once in a while. They're fun to watch.
Mary, where is your house located on the coast?
Well, it is on a strip called the Malibu, which is a strip 22 miles long and about a mile in width from the ocean to the mountains, a mile to 5 miles. And it goes from Santa Monica to the Ventura County. The Malibu Colony, the popular colony, is about 12 miles in that direction, so I'm sort of in the middle of it.
Mary, what's the meaning of the name that you gave your house, Stella Maris?
Oh, well, literally, it means Star of the Sea. And I selected it in honor of Our Lady. It's one of the praises in the litany to her. And, of course, the house also is sort of star-shaped. Come on in, I'll show you. Let's go in the side door. So here we are inside. Well, it isn't really inside. It's still outside, if you know what I mean. There is the sea all around, and I can lie in bed and look at the sunshine on the ocean. It's all pretty dreamy.
That's a wonderful thing to wake up to, Mary.
Oh, it certainly is, and you can hear that sound all the time. It's just wonderful. Of course, I might explain a little bit about the house. You see, it's one sort of big area without any walls. It's sort of sketchily divided off. This is the bedroom area, and here is my living room, and back there is my kitchen.
This is a most delightful place, Mary, but isn't this awfully far from the studios and your show business friends?
Well, yes, it's quite a trek. It takes me about 45 minutes to the valley, and I don't mind it, because coming back here is so relaxing and so wonderful. And I don't make more than maybe 4 or 5 shows a year, matter of weeks, and I spend the rest of the time in these surroundings.
Mary, speaking of acting, how did you go about learning the acting trade? Where did you study?
Well, I learned by doing it. You see, I went in when I was 14, and I don't think I knew a camera from a light. I just sat there and looked pretty while they did this. You know, those were the days of the silent pictures. Yeah. And from then on, it's become a sort of a casserole of silent films and and talkies, and then radio and theater and television.
But you never went to school or had a coach or anything like that?
No, I didn't, Charles. It was just a matter of, I don't think anybody can be exposed to this work for 40 years without some of it rubbing off.
Now, of all the pictures that you made over a period of 40 years, there must be some that you remember with a special fondness.
Yes. One that I'm sure most people are pretty tired of. It seemed to have cropped up on the Late Late Show, and that's the Maltese Falcon.
Oh, you were wonderful in that,
too. It was a great show, wasn't it?
Sure was.
And then there's Dodsworth, I remember very happily, of course, and The Great Lie, mainly for my association with Betty Davis, rather than as a picture.
How did that happen?
Well, you probably know Betty, don't you, Charles?
Yes, I do.
She's a really grand person, and there's a kind of a little interesting anecdote about that, although it's so long ago, I still remember it. Betty didn't like the story, and I didn't like the story, and in her way, she said, you know, this thing is just no good, Mary. We've got to make this thing mean something. So the only interesting thing about this is the conflict between these two women, the character she was playing and the character I was playing. So she just threw the whole script out, and we proceeded to rewrite entire scenes, much to dear Edmund Goulding's dismay, and we made the picture between us, and there was this tremendous sort of understanding between us, like a couple of dancers, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm. Which is a good way to learn acting.
Yes, it is, because, of course, she is a great person in as much as she doesn't depend entirely on herself. She surrounds herself with people who know how, you know, and it gives you a wonderful feeling.
Well, now, pictures like that are part of the past, and you've recently been doing a lot of television.
Yes.
What do you see in the future for Mary Astor?
Well, a little more television, I hope. One doesn't give up old friends for a new, and I do have a new one.
What's that?
Writing. This is my office, Charles. This is where I am in labor over a new book. It's a book called Baby Kate.
Ah, well, now you've already had your autobiography published and your first novel, The Incredible Charlie Carew, which is a great title. And this is just the beginning. You're on a new one already.
Yes, I started this one about, I think it's about 4 months ago. It doesn't look like very much work, but I've managed to get a few pages down anyway.
How do you describe your style as a novelist?
Oh, I don't know as I have a style as yet. After all, I don't want to be presumptuous and call myself a writer yet. I feel that I'm only learning to write. The fact that I've been published is a kind of a dividend. It's an added pleasure. But I am writing really for my own amazement. I'm very much interested in how people tick, of the, what you might call it, the dynamics of the personality. After all, that's what I've been doing as an actress all these years, is saying, why does so-and-so do this? What makes them behave that way? And this helps tremendously in writing.
How much time do you have to devote to your new career?
Well, I make myself get down to the typewriter. You have to, otherwise you'll just end up by sharpening pencils and finding telephone calls to make. I get 4 or 5 hours a day sitting at the old machine.
When do you start?
9 o'clock in the morning.
Well, that, I envy you your self-discipline.
Well, that's a kind of an imposed discipline. I've been appearing on the set at 9 o'clock in the morning for many years, so it's sort of, it seemed kind of natural to start 9 o'clock in the morning. Let's go to work, you know.
Mary, when did you discover what you called the pleasure of expressing this latent writing talent of yours?
Well, I'll have to give the entire credit for that to Father Peter Siklik. He is the a professor of psychology at Loyola University, and I underwent psychotherapy with him. And as part of my assignment, he had me write the story of my life. I wasn't able to express myself in talking, apparently, and it helped. So after this was all through, he handed me this enormous pile of manuscript. This is a year or so later. And he said, Mary, I think you should make a book out of this. And I didn't particularly want to, but he said, I think you can't keep something to yourself when you have gained. I had a pretty low spot, a very deep emotional trouble, and he felt that in writing about it, it might help other people to discover helping themselves, as I did.
So it was pain as well as pleasure involved in writing that
book. That's true, but of course the mechanics of writing by that time had become fascinating to me. And before my story had been published, I was hard at work on Charlie Carew, on this little number.
That's the new one.
This is the new one, yes. Very excited about it.
Mary, aside from your writing, this is a big question, but what's the most important thing in life to you now?
We got a couple hours? Well, I think we'll have to start with, a premise on the fact that I feel if everyone achieved happiness, what they call happiness, they wouldn't be happy. I think it's the pursuit of happiness that's important. And it's this pursuit that is a day by day, from the time you get up in the morning until you go to bed at night, of achieving small goals, of perhaps a long-range view of big ones, as I have for myself, hoping to learn to write. And doing this makes life, gives it some joy. Joy as instead of pleasure, if you know the difference.
Yes, and there is a difference. Well, Mary, keep the typewriter busy, but don't give up acting entirely.
Oh, no, indeed. I certainly won't.
It was just grand to see you.
Nice to see you, Charles. Come again.
I shall. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.